First Kings tonight, First Kings. And you saw that I got a motorcycle. You know, I always wanted a motorcycle when I was a kid. My mother told me, "You're never going to have a motorcycle in my home." That's about how she said it. Because my mother wasn't too keen on the idea of me having a motorcycle. You know what happened when I got to Africa? God gave me a motorcycle. I thought I'd have to give up so much in order to serve God. Wow. Look what God gives me. And every Sunday morning I go to preach, I get on a motorcycle. I drive up, I get muddy and dirty. And I get to preach, and I get muddy at the same time. That's the goodness of God. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read several verses, and then if I read too many verses, the pastor is going to push that button, and then the floor is going to open up, and I'm going to fall through. So pray for me. Amen. Amen. I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate y'all's support for these many years, and I thank God for it. We've seen some interesting things in Africa, but we definitely needed the prayers of God's people. There's some things that happen that don't go on prayer letters because folks don't want to know. But God's still faithful, and God's good. Chapter 18, we'll start in verse 17. I'm going to read some verses, and I'm going to use this to go to chapter 17. But 1 Kings 18, we'll start in verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and they gathered unto the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in West Africa through us. And God, as partnering here with this church, and God, how you blessed, and God, that everything that's done and every soul that's saved and every church that's started will be to the account of this church. I pray, dear God, that you might help us all, Lord God, to go forward for the glory of God, and Lord, to understand that you are a God of mercy, you're a God of grace, that you're a God of faith, and help us, Lord, by faith to do what you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Kings chapter 18, I see that Ahab is gone, and he started to serve Baal, and he's led the northern kingdoms and the northern tribes, and they're going and they're serving Baal. And here Elijah's been sent to him to tell him that the God does not agree with what he's doing. Okay? Just because the majority agree doesn't make it right. And I know it in our day, everything comes to a vote. But God's not in the voting business. God's in the business of, this is my word, you can follow it or not. God does not into a democracy. God is into a theocracy. And God says, I am God, and besides me there is none else. God's not concerned as much about how we feel about it as what his word says about it. And I know today that everyone bases their beliefs on their feelings. Well, I'm just going to be clear with you. If it's not based on the Word of God, then it really doesn't matter. Amen? We've come to a day where men are rewriting the Scriptures with how they feel about the Scriptures And God really doesn't care about that. God really hasn't read some of the guy's modern books. And I thank God that he hasn't, because I thank God that he doesn't change. He is stable. He's about the only thing stable in our day, but he's stable. And here in the Bible, Elijah, he says, I tell you what you do. You get all your prophets together, and you bring them here, and you get a bullock, and you make an altar, and I'll go over here, and I'll get a bullock, and I'll make an altar, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. What a bold man that was. Man, you think about it. This guy is standing against 450 plus the other 400. That's 850 men. He's saying, okay, you take your 850, you call on your God, I'm going to be myself, and I'm going to get some people to help me, but I'm going to be by myself, and I'm going to call on my God. The ones that answers by fire, let him be God. That's a bold statement, isn't it? Man, that's a man of faith, isn't it? You think he started there? Everyone wants to be a great person of faith, but they don't want to take the first steps. They say, man, Elijah called fire down from heaven and it consumed the altar. And man, what a wonderful thing that was. But it didn't start there. Look in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's look in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall neither be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. In a time of famine, and I'm going to drive the cameraman crazy. Amen. I'm not used to having a microphone. I'm used to just preaching open air, and I'm not used to this many people, so... Amen. And in a time of famine, God says, I want you to leave the city. Wouldn't the city be where the food would probably be? I want you to leave the city, and I want you to go down by a brook. I'm going to get ravens to feed you. Right. I'm from Eastern North Carolina. I've gone down to many a brook. And I've never seen a raven bring me a sandwich. You ever had a raven bring you a sandwich? I've never seen a raven bring me a sandwich. Good night. Pastor Anna's been preaching longer than I've been alive, and he hadn't seen it. Praise God, I know I haven't seen it. Amen. That's a testimony. I'm going to bring you. I'm going to feed you. If you'll get up, leave. Go out by yourself down in the middle of nowhere, and I'm going to feed you flesh in the morning. And I'm going to, you'll drink by the brook? Does that make any sense? Did you know that the will of God has never made sense to me? I can't sit down with a pen and calculate that thing out. I've never been able to do it. I failed Spanish. God called me to a French-speaking country and says, I'm going to send you to Canada to learn French. Oh, yeah, I was really excited about that. Mais maintenant, je peux parler en français sans un problème. Pourquoi? Parce que Dieu est fidèle. Now I can speak French without a problem. Why? Because God's faithful. See, you're not going to start out calling down fire from heaven in a grand of great faith your first day that you're trying to serve God. And if you think it's going to happen that way, good. I'll just sit back and watch. Because it's step by step by step by step by step. That's how faith grows. It doesn't come the first day. It doesn't come as soon as you get saved. All of a sudden you have faith to move mountains and faith to do all these great things. It doesn't happen that way. It takes step by step by step by step. But I will tell you that faith doesn't make sense. God's dealings in my life has never been common sense. That's why it's been by faith. Because if it always made sense, then where would be the faith? And God has told me to do several things that did not make sense. And the brethren did not understand. And I didn't even understand it, so I couldn't tell anybody else. Imagine him saying, you know what? Pastor Anna Scott has called me to go down to the brook, and there's going to be ravens. They're going to fly, and they're going to feed me flesh, and I'm going to just be sustained by the brook. He'd say, right. Can you imagine being Elijah and trying to explain that? I can't imagine being Elijah and trying to explain that to myself, much less to anybody else. But Elijah did that. And God fed him where? There. If Elijah would have gone anywhere else, he would have starved to death. I believe that. I believe that oftentimes that people are absolutely miserable because they're not in the will of God. And they're not in the will of God because they were scared to follow God by faith. That's why many preachers are going to be shipwrecked, because they're scared to death. God's going to lead me to Africa and not supply the need. He wouldn't be God. My son, Joseph, the oldest one, he was born a month after he was born, he almost died. The doctor said if he's not back to America in 48 hours, he's going to die. I was where God wanted me to be. That's his responsibility, not mine. If you follow God and you're where you're supposed to be, then God's going to provide. God's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. Maybe God won't make it this time. Maybe God's going to run out of money. Has God ever come to your house in the middle of the night, knocked on your door and said, I need money? He can provide. Amen. We're scared to death. Most people say, well, what happens if I go over to Africa? God won't be able to get... If something happens, what am I going to do? I'll have to call North Carolina. God will have to get on a plane, fly all the way over to Africa and help me. That's what we believe. Why do you think people won't go to Africa? Because they're scared God isn't there. It's the same God that I left with. It's the same God I had in Canada. Same God I had in Burkina Faso. Same God that I had in Ghana. Same God that I have in Mali. Same God that I have in Ivory Coast. That same God is already there. He doesn't live here. Folks are scared to death. Mamas are the mamas of children are the biggest missionary killer known to man. You want to know why? Because they would rather their children be out of the will of God near them than in the will of God near him. That's sad. And mama, what's going to happen when something happens to your child because they got out of the will of God? Then you're going to say, I don't know why she's out of church. I don't know why he's out of church. I do. In the will of God is the safest place you can be in the world. It is the place that God guides. It's the place that God provides. It's the place that God protects. It's the place that God, if he puts you there, God's going to see you through. What do you think, he's a liar? That's not my God. Here, God takes this man. He puts him, he provides for him where? There. Look in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there, that same word, to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he was come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make it for thee and for thy son." Now wait a minute. Is that preacher crazy? You hear what that preacher said? He said, she said, "Listen, I'm going to go and I'm going to take this meal and I'm going to take this oil and I'm going to make me a little cake. Me and my son are going to eat it. We're going to die." He said, "That sounds good." He said, "But before you go do that, make me a little cake first." Do what? See, before Elijah could help anyone else out, he had to learn faith for himself. He had to learn that God was faithful by the brook so that he could take it and teach someone else. "Hey, you go do that. You haven't seen what I've seen. Go make me a cake first and watch what God does." Folks, I'm telling you, God is faithful. You want to know why? Because I had to learn it. I had to learn it by the brook, so now I can tell you, make me a little cake first. You want to know why? Because I've seen him work. And you'll never go wrong by trusting God. You're never going to go wrong by believing in him when it doesn't make sense. Make me a little cake first. Does that make sense? This is the last cake we got. We're going to eat it. We're going to die. Make me one first. Are you crazy? I'm from North Carolina. I don't have all the dignified words. That sounds crazy to me. He learned a lesson at the brook. And now he's taking it to this lady and to her son, and he's teaching it to them. You know what happened? Let's read. "For thus saith the Lord God," verse 14, "of Israel, the barrel of the meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal was not wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." It's hard to tell somebody else about the goodness of God until you tasted it for yourself. Why is it so hard for folks to witness? Because they just haven't tasted the goodness of God. Why is it so hard for people to say, "Oh, trust in God"? Because they haven't trusted in God themselves. You can't tell me how good banana pudding is if you've never eaten it yourself. But I can tell you about banana pudding all day long, but unless you taste it, you're not going to know how good it is. Now that I've tasted it, I can tell you banana pudding is good. Unless it's the last bit and then it's not that good, let me have it. I'll do that for you. But do you notice how it starts? He goes down by the brook, and God said, "Go by the brook." He trusted God. He went there. God fed him there, sustained him there. Then he tells him, "I'll tell you what, I want you to go to a widow lady, the richest lady in town," right? A widow lady. "I'm going to sustain you, take care of you at a widow lady's house. I want to go to the rich guy's house. You know, the guy with, you know, the big house and all. I want to go to his house." No. I want you to go to widow's lady's house. Does that make sense? I read this and I just said, I don't get it. I don't understand. When God touches your heart, God's going to touch it in a way, then he's going to tell you to do something, or he's going to want you to do something. You're going to say, "I can't do that." You're going to say, "God, that doesn't make sense." That might be how you know that he's the one that's saying it, not you yourself. God wanted me to go to a Muslim country
in November after September 11th happened.
I knew that wasn't me calling me there. Now I'm faced with a situation. I'm either going to say yes, Lord, or no. You know, if I had said no, all the things that have happened up till now, I'd have never seen them. All the wonderful things God has done in my life, I'd have never seen them. If he hadn't obeyed by going down toward the brook, he'd have never gone and been able to sustain that widow, been with that widow lady and seen God work there. Then he'd have never been able to have faith in God that he could call down fire from heaven and that God would do a great work. If he'd have said no, he'd have never made it to the next place. If he'd have said no, he'd have never made it to the next place. I want to ask you tonight, are you there? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? I didn't come for your money, I came for you. I'm not begging for money. God takes care of me. For your own good, are you doing what God wants you to do? Because you're not going to have joy. You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have you're not going to be able to see the wonderful things about God unless you're all the way in. It is a wonderful life. It is a crazy life. But the life of faith is like no other life. It does not make sense. But after you do it, then you get to see all that God does in the process. And you just sit back one day and you're just going to say, wow. Almost 75 years, preacher. He can sit back on his life and just see the things that God's done because he's obeyed. He can sit back and see from time to time where he's obeyed and seen how God has done amazing things in his life. Taking him from where he was to this point. It's by what? By being the smartest one in the room? Nope. By having the most money? Nope. It's by simply trusting God and having faith in what he says and going out and doing what God wants you to do. God led us down to Ghana, West Africa, and I did not want to be in Ghana. I didn't. If you'd have asked my flesh would have said, no. I went and learned, is this for me, Richard? Good. I don't want to catch any, I didn't want to come out of Africa, come to North Carolina and catch some disease. Amen. Hey, you never know in North Carolina. Praise the Lord. I didn't want to be in Ghana, West Africa. It's not where I would have chosen. Wouldn't have picked it. I learned French in Ghana, West Africa, is an English-speaking country. I learned another African language, and that language is not spoken in the country that I'm in now. So I've got to learn another language. It's spoken in two or three countries surrounding me, that African language is, and French. And I'm not in a country that speaks either. So none of being in Ghana made sense to me. So I have to make a choice. But see, I've seen God, and every time he's told me to go somewhere, he's been faithful. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about him. And as we follow him, he's faithful. In May, I went up on the roof of that Christian school. I was going to fix a leak. I'm from North Carolina. I'm not calling anybody. I'm just going to go up there and fix it myself. Well, I got up there, and I fell through the roof. About 15 feet up, and I landed on my back, broke four ribs, punctured my lung, broke a finger, split my head open. Got a second concussion in a month and a half. I busted a rib, punctured the lung. So rib went in lung. Some blood and air came out. I'm 6 hours away from the hospital by ambulance on my back. Somehow that lung closed itself up. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe luck. I don't think so.
See, when you're in the will of God, it doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen in your life. It doesn't mean that difficulties aren't going to come. It just means that He's going to take care of you. I could have fallen in North Carolina, fell and broke the same thing and busted the same thing and ended up dying. There's no guarantees. In North Carolina, you ever seen young people die? What does that mean? Your life's in God's hands. It's not in your hands. It's in God's. But if you're doing what God wants you to do, you cannot die until He's ready. If you're where He wants you to be and you're doing what He wants you to do, you can't die until He's ready. Why not trust Him? God, who made the whole world, spoke it into existence, took me, who was a sinner, who my life was torn up by sin, cleaned me up. He exchanged a clean, perfect life for a dirty one. I gave Him a dirty life. He gave me a brand new life. Why not serve Him? Called me in the ministry. I wouldn't have done it. And He allows us to serve Him. There is no one in this building that's worthy of Him. And if you think you are, I've got a Bible that'll show you different. But Christ made me worthy. His blood, only through His blood, not anything in me. And He allows me to serve Him. Why would not I want to serve Him with all my life? Why wouldn't you want to serve Him? Why wouldn't you want to give Him your life? Why wouldn't you want to say, God, take me. Do whatever you want to. I'll follow you wherever. If it's West Africa, if it's Antarctica, wherever He calls, God's worthy. He was, when He went by the brook, He went there. When He went to Widow's lady's house, He went there. God led Him there, He went there. Then God leads Him to go to Ahab. He said, I think I've found this God to be faithful. He said, you call your 850 people, you bring them over here, and I'll just stand over here with God, and we'll see who's got the real God. How did He get to that point? He followed step by step by step. Your faith has to be grown. Most people want to do, especially young people, want to do some kind of amazing thing for God. But if you won't trust Him on the small things, He certainly couldn't trust us with the large things. You've got to trust Him and show Him that He can trust you. Of all the people He could have called to call fire down from heaven, He chose Elijah. But He had to make him into the man he became. What does God want to do in your life? Where does God want you to be? What does God want you to do? If we're thinking about missions. What does God want you to do in this area of missions? Some of you, God wants you to give. Some of you, God wants you to go. Some of you, God wants you to go and give. I'm a missionary. I also give to missions. Because I believe in it. I believe in what we're doing. I don't believe it's a part of the church. I believe it is the church. It's our mission to get the gospel around this world. It's a wonderful thing to serve the living God. He's worthy. He is definitely worthy. And I've seen Him faithful. Could I trust Him the first day? Oh, no. All right. I trusted Him in the little things. And as I stumbled and learned the little things, then I grew. And then I got to another point, and I had to trust Him more. then I had to trust him more, and then more, and then more, and then more. And now he says, go here. And I was like, all right, Lord, let's go. That didn't happen the first day of serving. That didn't happen with the first act of faith. It's been step by step by step by step. And I still get to places where God says, I want you to do this. And I say, oh, my goodness. But I found that he's faithful. Let's pray. And Dr. Anderson. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness in this church. And God, I thank you, Lord, for all that this church has been able to do in the area of missions. I pray, dear God, if there's somebody in here tonight that's struggling with your call, God, that you might touch their hearts. God, if there's someone in here tonight struggling with having faith in what you want them to do, I pray, God, that you might touch them. God, that we wouldn't give you just part of ourselves, but we would give you all. In Jesus' name, amen.